The original chairperson is the Komiralim Mulifu. And the national spokesperson, Refilwe Tenzeke. I thank you for your continued support and guidance on this important journey. Finally, I want to assure the residents of Johannesburg, we are committed to being a government for every single one of you, regardless of your political affiliation. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to pay a special tribute to our city manager, Dr. Ndivo Lukwereni, who joined us on the 1st of December 2016. Dr. Lukwereni is a highly experienced and skilled, qualified person. He understands our vision for change and is without doubt the right person to manage its implementation. City Manager, I thank you for your tireless dedication towards turning this city around, and I look forward to our continued work together over the coming years. Ladies and gentlemen, as we reflect on the current state of the city and map the way forward to the realization of our vision, we must all be alive to the city's enormous challenges that we have inherited. It is essential that we are honest with ourselves and our residents at all times to ensure that we can start to rebuild our residents' trust in their government, which has been eroded over many years. Ladies and gentlemen, this administration is not about quick fixes or silver bullets. In our city, change will not arise from such things. We are going to fix the city. We are going to get our priorities straight for the first time by focusing on the basics for the first time, by paying attention to the bread and butter issues of service delivery. Having said that, I'm not going to spend my time talking about how our city has ended up in its current state and who's to blame for it. The voters of our city have already done that. As the executive mayor of the city, I do not get to pick and choose my responsibilities. I've inherited a city, and mine is to accept the full and unconditional responsibility to work on making our city a better place for all our residents. History is going to be made today in this chamber. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand before you today to deliver to the residents of our city, perhaps for the first time, the true state of our city. Because we must take our residents into our confidence and be honest about the current state of our city. Because, like so many things in life, change has to start with an honest assessment of the state of affairs. This is required so that we can roll up our collective sleeves and get to the work of creating a better Johannesburg, knowing the true magnitude of the task ahead. Government has to be in tune with the people that they serve. Too many of our residents remain without the dignity of work. Johannesburg today has 862,000 unemployed people with an unemployment rate at over 30%. The youth of the city are the greatest casualties of this crisis, facing an unemployment rate of over 50%. By accepting and continuing with the project of 1.6% economic growth rate for our city, we will not be able to reverse the high rate of unemployment facing our youth. Our infrastructure is crumbling. Neglect to prioritize maintenance and repairs of city infrastructure has produced a 10-year, 170 billion rands unfunded gap on capital infrastructure. It sits under our roads and pavements, out of sight and out of mind, and not a priority historically. The lights are starting to go out as some of our 60-year-old overloaded electricity substations, part of a 69 billion rands backlog. Water losses have reached 31%, and there are currently 371 leaks per kilometers of water pipes in our city. Our roads have reported repairs and maintenance backlog exceeding a staggering 5 billion rands. We have inherited the housing backlog conservatively estimated at 300,000 units. an average delivery of only 3,500 housing units per year. Putting aside the impact of migration into our city, it would take a century to resolve the current housing backlog alone. It is very clear that the existing state of affairs is simply unsustainable. The indignity caused by lack of adequate housing is best seen by the 181 informal settlements which have mushroomed across our city. There has been a chronic underinvestment in our informal settlements. More than half of these informal settlements have no basic services whatsoever. I am angry that the government could justify spending money on lesser priorities while our people are subjected to the most desperate conditions in these informal settlements and their dignity is being trampled on. Since taking office, we have been inundated with cases of corruption, nepotism and fraud. Indeed, corruption is not a strong enough term for what was taking place in the city. It was outright shameless looting. Lawlessness has been allowed to become the order of the day in many of our communities, and bylaws have been rendered worthless. Dozens of buildings have been hijacked by slumlords, and far too many families and communities have been destroyed by drug lords and crime. We have a city where it is criminals who operate with impunity, while our residents live in fear. Noting the serious challenges, I stand before you in amazement of these new council chambers. This 360 million rand council chamber, it is truly a spectacular building. However, I'm left thinking of all the roads, houses, clinics that could have been built with this money. What is clear from last year's election is that our residents' demand for change requires a clear break from the previous way of doing things. Because following what has failed before is not going to achieve any change for our residents. We can no longer conduct business as usual. It is now time for business as usual. It is going to take time to turn around the years of neglect, incorrect priorities, decay and mismanagement in our city. The sheer magnitude of the backlog that we have inherited are staggering. But like all enormous challenges, the only way to address them is one step at a time. While asking our residents for their patience, I wish to assure residents that change is on the way. Day by day, we are taking steps towards delivering change to all our residents. Day by day, we are making progress towards creating a more inclusive and prosperous Johannesburg. Mr. Speaker, in mentioning progress, I think it is important for me to highlight the many steps that this new administration has taken towards addressing the key challenges since coming into office on the 23rd of August 2016. Soon after taking office, I met with senior administration and political leadership of the city, and we developed a 10-point plan to guide us on this important journey. One of the more difficult challenges we have inherited was a budget and an IDP that represented the business as usual approach, passed only a few weeks before voters demanded change in our city. Even as I speak here today, we are forced to operate under budget and plan of a government that was voted out by the people of our city. So this 10-point plan represented a way for the new coalition government to start making its own impact with the intentions of the highly regulated legislative environment. Much progress has been made, and today I'm pleased to report to you where we stand on these matters. The first part of the plan is to ensure that the entire city embraces the environment of a new coalition government. This is necessary to help us move forward with speed and ensure that every employee of the city has respect for the electorate's wishes. From our own interaction with employees and officials, it has become clear to me that the vast majority understand and embrace our residents' demands for change. The second part of the plan is to run a responsive and proper government with a focus on redress. I have stated on numerous occasions that this administration is unapologetically pro-poor. Too many of our residents remain without the dignity of work and incapable of supporting themselves and their families. Spatial and income inequality continue to define the city's landscape, with poor communities suffering from inadequate service delivery in comparison to their more affluent counterparts. We cannot build the city we also deeply desire when so many of our people can only look from a distance as prosperity, reaching out and being unable to access it. Addressing this is a non-negotiable that our entire city depends on. It is a project that every resident, the haves and the have-nots, must join hands with government to work together to achieve. At the time of announcing our 10-point plan, I committed that when we determine our budget for the 2017-2018 financial year, it will focus on the most deprived in our city. Today, I'm pleased to announce that our 2017-18 proposed budget, we aim to ensure that a minimum of 60% of the city's capital expenditure is directed towards projects in traditionally poor and underserviced communities. Allow me to spend some time looking at the steps we have already taken in line with our pro-poor agenda. Our adjustment budget, which was passed in February, afforded us the first opportunity to ensure that we redirect funding towards poor communities. Although legislation only permitted us to make minor adjustments, we made sure that those adjustments focus on Johannesburg's forgotten people. We achieved the allocation of 546 million rands for the purpose of electrifying incomplete housing units. We achieved the allocation of 41 million rands to electrify 5 informal settlements where children have never studied with even the assistance of a light bulb. We achieved the allocation of 51 million rands for the purpose of additional buses for Metro Bus, for the refurbishment of current fleet to ease the burden of people getting around our city. We have initiated a program of tarring roads in impoverished areas such as Doornkop, Loli, Maibue, Tsepisong, Protea South and Ivory Park. We have allocated funds that achieve the extension of operating hours of 5 additional clinics that will operate 7 days a week, because people do not only get sick during working hours. We have increased funding to the Johannesburg Social Housing Company, amounting to 219 million rands. This increase will be dedicated for the purpose of purchasing buildings that will be refurbished within the inner city. These buildings are going to be converted into low-cost rental stock that will house 1,164 of our families. We achieved an allocation of 49 million rands to pick it up for additional cleaning shifts in a bid to clean up our city with a focus on the inner city and informal settlements. This has also led to the employment of additional 640 of our residents. We achieved an allocation of 5 million rands for the completion of the shared industrial production facility in Alexander. This will serve as a full-service shared production facility for Alexander-based SMMEs operating in the informal manufacturing sector. We achieved the allocation of 2 million rands for the construction of homeless shelters in our city. Homelessness robs many of our residents of their dignity, and with this commitment, we can finally begin addressing this challenge head on. With these adjustments, a very real sense of promise of change is beginning to emerge. Much more significant change will be derived from the tabling of our first budget for the 2017-18 financial year, which will be happening later this month. In the coming weeks and months, the forgotten people of our city will begin to see the developments and improvements where they have previously seen nothing. They will start to see projects accelerating and progress taking shape. I have a vision for the city of Johannesburg to be under construction, so that wherever you go, you are never out of sight or earshot of projects coming to benefit our communities. However, I'd like to touch on a new project I recently launched to electrify 1,000 households in Meriting and Fynetown informal settlements. This is a project close to my heart as I visited this community during the election campaign last year. And I listened to the community's heartfelt pleas for assistance after years of empty promises to provide them with electricity. Upon the completion of this 224 million rands project, the families of Meriting and Fynetown North will be able to light and warm their homes against the coming winter. And these two communities will be less vulnerable to tragic fires. This is the business of local government. But most importantly, the electrification of informal settlements will ensure that our residents need not resort to illegal connections, which have resulted in 6 avoidable deaths during the past financial year alone. Our administration is serious about improving the quality of life for our poorest residents and providing quality services to the forgotten communities. Another issue close to my heart is education. Growing up in poverty, I knew that education was the greatest tool I could use to free myself from the shackles of poverty. We need intervention to provide young children from disadvantaged backgrounds with quality care, allowing their parents to pursue work opportunities, knowing that their children are in a self-learning environment. As a local government, we are aware of the fact that basic and tertiary education falls under our constitutionally defined competencies. However, where we can make a difference, and where we'll make a difference, is in the field of early childhood development. On 30 November 2016, I launched the city's revamped early childhood development program. It involved an extensive public-private partnership with the Hollard Foundation. This initiative targets the most underprivileged wards in our city. We have set a target ensuring that 400 non-compliant ECD centers across our city are compliant with land use bylaws by June this year. We have a target of ensuring that an additional 6,000 children are included in the ECD programs by June 2017. Finally, we have a target of training 3,800 ECD practitioners by June 2017, which will provide them with the necessary skills training to ensure that quality learning of our children is a priority. The third part of the 10-point plan is to achieve a minimum of 5% economic growth in Johannesburg by 2021. We cannot reverse the unemployment of 862,000 residents with anything less than 5% economic growth. It is an ambitious target, but it is what we require to bring this city's unemployment down. We want Johannesburg to be the engine room of South Africa's economic growth. This cannot happen at the current projected growth rate of around 1.6%. We need to increase enabling environment for businesses, especially small businesses, to flourish and thereby become employers of our people. Our plan, under the final stages of development, will contain particular focal points. There is no doubt that one of the key elements for reversing unemployment within the city relates to our ability to make it easier to set up businesses. We have identified 20 key performance standards in this respect. The standards involve various subjects including building plans approvals, rezoning applications, installation of new meters, and clearance certificates. You see, we cannot influence the national political uncertainty in our economy, but what we can do is provide certainty that Johannesburg is the best place to come and set up a business. In line with this priority, we allocated an additional 3.6 million rands to development planning to capacitate the units that addresses this key performance areas in our adjustment budget. Although it is still early days, the work of this team is already yielding positive results. Small businesses create jobs. They have an abundance of potential waiting to be unlocked. They have the ability to expand into employers of our people. That is why small business development is one of the key focus areas of this administration. Since the beginning of the 2016-17 financial year, 7,374 small, medium and macro-sized enterprises were assisted by SMME hubs over 9 months, amounting to an average of 819 SMMEs per month. This is more than 50% above the 533 SMMEs supported per month achieved in the previous financial year. There are now a total of 7 hubs throughout the city, and our plan is to double this to 14 by the end of the 2017-18 financial year. This will result in 2 hubs being located in each of the Johannesburg 7 regions where young prospective entrepreneurs can receive support. This is expected to increase the number of SMEs supported through each hub per month to 1,250 by June 2018. Ultimately, each hub will assist more than 2,000 SMEs per month by the end of the mayoral term, representing a fourfold increase in the size of SMEs-supported programs. We will also aggressively expand and roll out our free Wi-Fi networks across the city. This will include rollout to public libraries and municipal clinics. Earlier this year, I announced a decision to revamp the Josie at Work program. It has resulted in a few marches, invasions of our buildings, and threats of violence. I stand here today, unperturbed. You see, the program was a wolf in a sheep's clothing. In principle, the core program that many service delivery objectives work with, opportunities, it's a good principle. But like so many good principles, the Josie at Work program had a dark underworld. Because when CSA middlemen get awarded multi-million rand contracts to run these projects, they become indebted through their newly achieved wealth. And when the same grateful overnight millionaires must go and select people to benefit from the work opportunities, somewhere in the middle of this mess, in some cases, were ward councillors ready and waiting to assist. They had no official indigent list to work off. So I ask you, on what basis do you think people got chosen? We will move forward with a new model to council, which will cut out the middlemen, allowing us to engage the services of more people seeking work opportunities. Work opportunities will be fairly allocated on a rotational basis of a legitimate indigent register. The only basis for one's placement on this list will be socio-economic criteria. Despite what the critics say, this move will not kill work opportunities. Instead, it will increase the amount of people who can fairly benefit from these temporary work opportunities. However, we have to create lasting economic growth that stimulates the development of businesses, which will provide our residents with real jobs. It is vital that we throw open our doors to make Johannesburg an easier and more attractive destination to do business. I am in the process of establishing an investment desk in my office to deal specifically with investor and business relations. This will help to expedite the resolution of issues facing our developers, investors and business people. This will help to avoid unnecessary delays in much-needed development and investment, which will assist to stimulate job creation in our city. The fourth element of the 10-point plan is to create a professional civil service that serves the residents of Johannesburg with pride. A prerequisite to our success is ensuring that all 33,000 employees of the city uphold my motto of service with pride. Our residents engage with our civil service, they must feel that they have been dealt with professionally and in a caring manner. A professional, committed and responsive civil service will help to attract investment, which will in turn stimulate economic growth and create jobs for our people. In light of this priority, soon after taking office, we initiate an independent skills audit. This was to ensure that every manager in the city is in that position because of what they know, not who they knew. This audit is reaching its conclusion and will make its findings available to the public and anyone interested. We are going to be a truly responsive and caring government. We must listen to the concerns of our residents. Thank you. There are a few matters that frustrate our residents more than the flawed billing system we have inherited. It is essential that we look for too long solution to this challenge, as this will only improve our relationship with our residents, but also allow to improve revenue collection. This, in turn, will allow us to spend more money on improving infrastructure and delivering better services to our residents. The process to appoint a service provider who will assist us to resolve billing challenge is ongoing, and we'll be hoping to finalize this appointment by the end of the current financial year. Once the service provider has been appointed, we'll work with them to analyze the errors in our systems and lasting solutions to the problems we are facing. This process has involved conducting a diagnostic exercise focusing on the four elements of our billing system. The first is the development of the indigent list, and the system that ensures that the poorest in our city receive free basic services without charge. Every month, they will receive 50 kilowatt hours of free electricity, between 10 and 15 kiloliters of free water, as well as free sewer and free refuse removal services. The second is to ensure that our property valuation process is improved. In the last property valuation process, the city had to file over 60,000 objections against its own service provider. This shambles cannot happen again. The third is the improvement of our revenue collection. Our reality is that we have to collect more revenue. On this point, I'm delighted to inform everyone that during the month of March 2017, we collected just over 3 billion rands in revenue. The budget amount was 2.6 billion rands, and it is for the first time in the city that has gone beyond the 3 billion rands mark. Our outbound collection unit, which has been reconstituted after the removal of our external contractor, was able to collect 275 million rands more in March alone. MMC for Finance Councillor Rabelani Dagada has informed me that he's confident that we'll reach the 4 billion mark per month collection by the end of July 2017. This is something that should be celebrated, and I congratulate the team at Revenue for the progress that has been made. Our challenge now is to maintain this. The final leg of this process is to improve our systems that resolve billing queries. Our residents go through hell and back to resolve their issues, and this administration is committed to be more caring and more responsive. There are currently over 48,000 open billing queries in the city, of which 26,000 are 90 to 365 days old. To attend to this matter with urgency, we have reconstituted the Black Back Office unit with the Revenue Department and made provisions for overtime so that they can resolve these open queries. The Back Office unit started working on this on the 3rd of April 2017, and the target is to resolve all open queries by the end of this current financial year. I would like to thank our residents for their patience and assure them that we have heard them. We have heard their cries for assistance and intervention. Change is on the way. I referred earlier to the sobering 5.8 billion rand backlog in repairs and maintenance of our road infrastructure in our city. I have declared war on the potholes in our city. And we are prioritizing the repair of failing road surfaces. Through our adjustment budget, we have provided an additional 88 million rands in funding to the Johannesburg Road Agency. This was to procure the materials and personnel to address these vital repairs. I'm pleased to announce that following our adjustment, in the month of March alone, an impressive total of 17,696 potholes were repaired in the city of Johannesburg. Progress has been made, and we are committed to improving the state of our roads. We cannot deny that there is an enormous mountain to climb. However, we will continue to commit more resources, better technology, newer equipment, and better trained teams to respond effectively to those challenges. Road and transport infrastructure is a way for people to access jobs, a way for businesses to access markets, and one way we can create and connect at our people in our communities. A transport network, which functions like a well-oiled machine, is a prerequisite for us having a thriving economy in the city of Johannesburg. Mr. Speaker, the fifth part of our 10-point plan is to ensure corruption is public enemy number one in the city of Johannesburg. Corruption steals from the poor, and it must be stopped. I have zero tolerance for corruption in both the public and private sectors. Following the appointment of General Shadrach Sibiya to head up our new internal investigative unit in the city, we have made solid inroads in exposing corruption and ensuring that those found wanting face the full might of the law. To date, this unit has exposed and prevented fraud and corruption estimated at over 2 billion rands across a number of different departments and entities. Yeah. 30 city employees have been arrested since the establishment of this unit, and we will be keeping a close eye on the progress of those cases before court. In addition, 91 employees have been suspended, and 3 senior officials have resigned as a result of these investigations. I've always said that the corruption exposed to date is only the tip of an iceberg when it came to the outright looting that was taking place in our city. Today, I can confirm that over 300 cases are currently being investigated, and the total monetary value alleged to be lost or misused as a result of fraud and corruption is over 10 billion rands. This figure is utterly sickening. This level of corruption could not have taken place in a vacuum. It is without doubt that many turn a blind eye in the past. This is money that should have been utilized to provide much-needed service delivery to communities throughout Johannesburg, especially our poor communities. If we are to meet Johannesburg's service delivery needs, Every cent counts. That is why we will continue to vigorously pursue every allegation of corruption. The days of a gentle slap on the wrist or redeployment to another department are over. We will expose wrongdoing and ensure that those implicated are suspended, face criminal prosecution, and monies recovered. In our continual fight against corruption, we have to rely on the Hawks and the National Prosecuting Authority in order for investigations to achieve the arrest and convictions they require. As a city, we have continuously engaged these critical institutions. During my first 100 days, I promised residents that I will hold these institutions accountable if results are not achieved. Regrettably, it came to my attention that there has been serious interference in our cases, and I was left with no option but to lay complaint with the Independent Police Investigative Department. We welcome IPED's decision to investigate the serious allegation of defeating the ends of justice and abuse of power, and we look forward to the outcome of the investigation. I will never tolerate any form of interference in our fight against corruption. Ladies and gentlemen, earlier this year, Council, the very same Council, voted to amend the supply chain management policy. This gave birth to the very first open tender system in the city of Johannesburg. Bid adjudication meetings are now held in rooms open to the public, to the media, and to all interested parties. For too long, these processes have operated behind closed doors and away from public scrutiny, allowing for corrupt practices to fester. We have also begun a process of reviewing the supply chain management policy with the intention of ensuring that tenders are broken down into smaller parts in order for small businesses to also benefit. The sixth part of our 10-point plan is to produce an official housing waiting list. Many of our residents have lost trust in the government due to deep-rooted corruption in the housing allocation process. It is time to rebuild the trust of our communities. Ladies and gentlemen, the frustration of our communities lies in the fact that people have been sitting on housing lists, some since 1996, which remain a secret. With the historical institutional corruption in our city, how can we expect housing applicants to believe in the legitimacy of this process? I'm delighted to announce that for the first time in the history of Johannesburg, I am in a position of a completed housing list bearing the names of 152,000 of our residents. We are going to make this list public so that anyone can query their position in the list and know where they stand. It will take time to address this housing backlog, but at least people will know that nobody can be inserted above them unfairly, benefiting from personal connections. An audit of the housing waiting list is currently underway so that its integrity is beyond reproach. In the near future, I will be unveiling the mechanisms that the city will roll out to ensure that applicants can know where there are positions on the housing list. The seventh part of the 10-point plan is to produce a list of all incomplete housing units within the city where construction had ground to a halt. During my election campaign, I was horrified by the number of incomplete housing projects where beneficiaries could only look on from a distance or from their sheikhs. Tragically, these units stood empty for too long periods of time, in most cases due to failures of the city to provide services and necessary funding to complete this project. Within 2 months of us coming into office, this list was completed and detailed over 3,000 housing units that require work to enable our people to take occupation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to announce that we will complete 1,841 of these housing units in this current financial year. you do so, we are making use of 546 million rands to fund the electrification of these incomplete housing units. City Power has already begun work on electrifying these units to ensure that the handover to assigned beneficiaries can be fast-tracked. We are planning to host official handover ceremonies in July of this year. Thank you. Our eighth part of the plan is to fast track the delivery of title deeds to the beneficiaries of the city's housing projects. The handover title deeds is a top priority of this administration, especially given the chronic legacy of the city's failing to do so. For example, in the 2013-14 financial year, not a single title deed was handed out to beneficiaries in Johannesburg. Within the first few weeks of coming into office, we had processed 2,000 title deeds that were ready to be handed over to beneficiaries. Some of whom have been waiting for decades to own their own homes. I've been involved in a number of these distributions, and I was touched by the stories of suffering behind these title deeds. I was deeply honored to be able to hand over our first title deed to Mrs. Anna Dikhale. Ma Dikhale, a 70-year-old widow who had been living in a deep roof home since 1963. She looks after her grandchildren and great-grandchildren in this home and relies on social grants to sustain her family. Ma Anna represents the story of thousands of people in the city. In fact, Ma Anna had tried to have the city attend to her request in order to provide her with the title deeds since 2007, but the city was unresponsive. Over five decades later, Ma Anna has finally been provided with the dignity of her own title deed. Title deeds help to restore our people's dignity by providing them with ownership of property, which can be passed on to their children and their grandchildren. Importantly, having a title deed to a home provides our residents with economic opportunity to better their lives and enter the mainstream economy. To date, we have handed out 2,800 title deeds to beneficiaries. I'm delighted to announce that we have an additional 1,100 title deeds that are ready to be handed over to our residents. In the next month, I will be distributing these title deeds to beneficiaries from communities including Ivory Park, Pennyville, Lenasia, and Ruby Ridge. This is the change that we promised to our residents when we came into office last year. The ninth priority in our 10-point plan was to initiate a pilot project for a clinic to operate for extended hours. A great city must also provide its residents with access to quality healthcare. When we entered office, all the city's 81 clinics only operated from 8 to 4 p.m., Monday to Friday. This was wholly inadequate to deal with the serious healthcare problems our communities are facing. I launched the extended hours pilot project at the Princess Clinic in Roodepoort on the 31st of October 2016. This clinic went from the usual operating hours to being open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday to Fridays, and weekdays from 7 to 1 p.m. On my first visit to Princess during the election campaign, I came into contact with the Maziko family who suffered from an extreme health crisis. The family lived in a small two-room shack without water supply. The oldest daughter contracted tuberculosis and suffered from at least 2 fits per day. During my interaction with the residents in the community, a number of people told me of family members, neighbors, and friends who had contracted respiratory diseases. The residents of Princess, like the Maziko family, are forever etched in my heart, and they should never have to suffer such indignity and deprivation of basic rights. Ladies and gentlemen, I dedicated the launch of the pilot project in Princes to the Maziko family. I'm equally delighted to stand here today, inform you that the project has been a resounding success. From November 2016 through to February 2017, in just 3 months, a total of 10,791 patients visited the Princes Clinic. As a reflection on the need for the extended operating hours, almost 3,000 of those patients were seen during extended hours, 30%. We have experienced a few emergency cases since the extension of operating hours at Princes Clinic. Patients' lives were saved in 2 specific cases. A 3-year-old boy was rushed to the clinic due to shortness of breath and diagnosed with pneumonia. He is alive and well today. A pregnant woman in labor arrived at the clinic and received emergency care before being rushed to hospital. Both mother and child are well today. Given the success of the project, we have allocated 4.3 million rands in our adjustment budget to extend operating hours of additional 5 clinics. Effective from 1st of April 2017, the city has rolled out extended operating hours at the following clinics. Freedom Park, Hesekensi, Randburg, Zandspruit and Albert Street in the inner city. These clinics are now open from 7 to 10 p.m. on weekdays and from 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. on weekdays and public holidays. Through this adjustment budget, we have also set ourselves the task of improving the infrastructure of some of our clinics. This process also includes an increase afforded to Langlachte Pharmacy Distribution Facility to improve the efficiencies of the distribution of medicine to all our clinics. These important developments will go a long way in ensuring that our residents have access to quality healthcare without compromising their livelihoods. It also gives me great joy to announce that we will be allocating funding in our 2017-18 budget to extend operating hours to even more clinics across our city. This project has the potential to transform access to healthcare in Johannesburg, especially to our poorest residents. A proper functioning healthcare system is vital to achieving our economic growth target because a healthy city is a working city. The final element of our 10-point plan is to revitalize the inner city of Johannesburg and bring people and businesses back into the heart of our city. Over the years, the Johannesburg inner city has suffered from gross neglect, with crime, drugs and filth becoming commonplace. This has resulted in the flight of capital to areas such as Sandton, Rosebank and Midrand. Historic buildings have been abandoned or hijacked. Debt has piled up and crime has spiraled almost out of control. This can largely be attributed to a lack of political will to address this in our inner city. The revitalization of our inner city is pivotal in our quest to unleash Johannesburg economic potential and realize our target of a 5% economic growth by 2021. Our vision for the inner city is to make it the inclusive, modern and diverse heartbeat of Johannesburg. It truly has the potential to become a model for a modern post-apartheid South African city. Let me make one thing clear. It is the poor that have suffered the most as a result of the inner city's decay. I was stirred to action after reading a publication called Kids Chronicle, which included a message addressed to me. A great six learner wrote, and I quote, "The inner city has got deep secrets. It stinks in there because toilets are not clean, there are mice and rats, and there are sometimes dead bodies," end quote. Most concerning was a learned exposure to people who are, quote, inject themselves with drugs every morning when I go to school, end quote. No one, and especially our youth, should be exposed to such trauma. It is an utter disgrace that this has continued unabated for so long. We are making substantial progress in our quest to develop a plan for the inner city's renewal. We are close to completing our analysis of all cities' owned buildings with the intention of converting them into affordable, low-cost housing for our residents to accommodate workers closer to their places of work. These buildings will be converted into affordable commercial spaces for the benefit of small businesses and entrepreneurs. As mentioned earlier, we allocated 290 million rands to JOSCO in our adjustment budget. This money will be used to purchase buildings in the inner city that will be refurbished and converted into low-cost rental stock that will house over 1,000 families. For too long, parts of Johannesburg, particularly the inner city, have been associated with crime. I'm committed to ensuring that this becomes a thing of the past. We allocated an additional 49 million rands to pick it up in a bid to clean up our inner city. This is through an additional cleaning shift in the inner city and within our informal settlements as well. Since entering office, we have doubled the cleaning shift of pick it up in the inner city, including enough shift to serve the businesses operating at night. Crime is another major problem plaguing our inner city, which must be addressed, and we are going to make it a safe place for our people to live, work, and play. The latest official crime stats released last year revealed that the inner city is the most dangerous area in Johannesburg. The Department of Public Safety and JMPD have already launched a plan which has seen the enforcement of bylaws and visible policing dramatically increased in the inner city. When we entered office, I was shocked to find out that the JMPD was operating with an average shortage of 1,500 officers. I was baffled that this was allowed to take place in the face of rampant crime that was destroying many of our communities. Ladies and gentlemen, in our adjustment budget, we allocated 31 million rands to JMPD for the recruitment and training of an additional 1,500 JMPD officers. The recruitment process is currently underway, and prospective candidates have until tomorrow to submit the applications. I encourage men and women of the highest integrity and with a passion to serve their communities to come forward and apply. I believe this to be a major breakthrough in the city's efforts to combat crime, enforce bylaws, and manage traffic congestions. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot shut out the drug problem by ignoring it. We need to decisively tackle it head on. During the election campaign, I promised the residents of Johannesburg, if elected mayor, I would create a specialized drug unit within the JMPD. On the 21st of November 2016, I delivered on that promise to our residents when I declared war on drug lords as we relaunch the new K9 narcotics unit. I'm exceptionally proud of the work which has been done by the city's K9 narcotics unit. To date, the unit's track record in drug-related crime busting has yielded much success. The unit's greatest success thus far was the drug bust in Glen Vista, in which cat and tick, as well as drug manufacturing chemicals worth a combined 9.5 million rands, were captured. The suspects arrested in this raid were believed to be the source of hundreds of drug dealers across Johannesburg, and the arrest marked a major breakthrough in an effort to rid our city of drugs. In total, this unit has affected 597 arrests and recovered 100 kilograms of drugs, 463 stolen or hijacked vehicles, over 1,000 stolen properties, and 52 firearms. I want to express my deepest appreciation to this unit for the high level of professionalism and, most importantly, the integrity and commitment they continue to show on a daily basis. They are real heroes of our city. Ladies and gentlemen, traffic congestion and downed traffic lines is another frustration our residents suffer on a daily basis. To assist in addressing this, the issue of traffic light failure in our city, we have established a specialized JMPD unit. This unit operates as a rapid response team to down traffic lights in order to provide relief to our residents, while the broader issue of traffic lights repaired is being addressed. This unit is now staffed with over 600 of our members. We have also announced our no joint policy in respect of traffic lights. Until recently, the city has addressed issues of down traffic lights by simply joining cables in the event of an electrical fault. Each join in the cabling of a traffic light is an electrical weakness in the circuit that makes it vulnerable to rain, electrical surges, and lightning. We have allocated 6 million rands to replace cabling in traffic light intersection to initiate the no-join policy, which should be expanded upon in the 2017-2018 budget. In our effort to achieve the rule of law in our city, we have taken a decision to bring back dedicated municipal courts through a funding arrangement with the Department of Justice. This will serve to ensure that bylaw infringers are dealt with speedily, so that consequences are short for anyone who breaches our laws. Ladies and gentlemen, looking at all these developments in line with our 10-point plan, it is without doubt that day by day, step by step, we are beginning to make real and lasting progress in the city of Johannesburg. However, beyond what we have already achieved, it is important that our residents know where we are and where we are going as an administration. To meet our challenges, we are carving out a new strategy for the city of Johannesburg. The strategy aims to prioritize our residents' most pressing needs. It is a plan that no longer places the poor on the fringes of society, but one that places them at the heart of our agenda. It is a plan that gives the city's forgotten people a voice that resonates throughout the whole of this government. Much of this will be fully expressed in the upcoming 2017-2018 budget that will be announced later this month. Over the past month, both the proposed 2017-18 budget and the integrated development plan were open to extensive public comment and consultation. When we tabled the draft budget in March 2017, I made the point of saying that our IDP and budget required the input of communities to be completed in the image and the change they have demanded. Despite premeditated attempts to disrupt these meetings, we successfully held 31 cluster conversations and 8 regional IDP sessions. And I'd like to thank all of you who participated. This process of public consultations has been invaluable, ensuring that the budget and IDP truly reflects the change our communities have demanded of us. Underpinning this administration at its heart are 5 pillars which will be the bedrock on which change is going to be delivered to our residents. Thank you. The first of these 5 pillars is to grow the economy and create jobs for our people. We see economic growth, which creates jobs, as the central enabler for realizing opportunities for all. It is a refutable truth that people with the means improve their circumstances more effectively than any government has ever proven capable of doing, because people with the dignity of work reduces the pressure on housing backlogs, clinics, and free basic services, allowing the city to focus more resources on a small number of people. In the coming months, we will be unveiling the economic policy of administration that will take the city to 5% economic growth by 2021. It will be aimed at driving down our crippling unemployment rate. This is our pledge to the 860 unemployed people of our city. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to announce that we will be adopting an approach to insourcing some of the identified services consumed by the city. I would like to give my appreciation and a deep appreciation to members of the EFF who have worked closely with this administration on this matter. So, colleagues from the EFF, thank you so very much for working with us to identify issues affecting our people. From the 1st of January 2018, we will initiate the insourcing of security services in the city of Johannesburg. Currently, the city of Johannesburg spends 360 million rands on security services. It produces a situation where the city is effectively paying 16,000 rands per security guard, and yet each individual guard is earning in the region of only 4,000 rands per month. As a city, we are kept safe by these guards. It is time that we return the favor and provide them with the security of a permanent employment and a better pay. We will also be looking at contractor services of catering and cleaning and determining how we can follow a similar model of insourcing. The second pillar is to enhance quality of life by improving services and taking care of the environment. We want our residents to live in a well-run city where they do not have to worry about potholes, broken street lights, and crumbling infrastructure. Therefore, the cornerstone of our development plan is to ensure that improved access to quality and affordable basic services, safe roads, and well-maintained public spaces. The preservation and protection of the natural environment for the health and well-being of our current and future generation is also a vital component of this pillar. One of the key interventions is the reintegration of city entities. Johannesburg has operated under a complicated and cumbersome model of service delivery from independent city entities operating under boards of directors. The only winner in this arrangement has been bureaucracy. The losers of this arrangement has been the residents of our city. When the city entities are reintegrated, their personnel will be regionalized so that frontline service delivery capacity is located in the seven regions of our city. This kind of capacity does not belong in any ivory tower. It belongs close to where the people are and where the service delivery issues are impacting our people. The third pillar is to advance a proper development that provides meaningful redress. The residents of Johannesburg still live with the legacy of our country's past, visible in an uneven development of different communities that make up our city. This necessitates government to recognize that the painful legacy of our past continues in our communities that they lived and they experience on a daily basis. It has rendered too many people vulnerable as outsiders looking in at the economy. At the same time, efforts at redress must focus on, among other imperatives, creating more inclusivity. Inclusive communities embrace and welcome diversity, and the city must do more to ensure that space is provided where all members of the public can come together. In this regard, the key directive in our budget process has been to ensure that a minimum of 60% of capital expenditure must be spent in poor communities. It must drive the delivery of services infrastructure investment, and efficiency of transport for the benefit of the most vulnerable in our city. Our approach for housing is going to see a shift in direction. I have long adopted the view that the city's historical approach of building 2,500 to 3,500 houses per year in the face of such enormous backlog was simply embracing failure. We must not continue with approach that have failed before. This administration is going to be deploying a progressive focus on the approach of site and service. This involves the provision of fully serviced plots of land onto which beneficiaries can be settled. These beneficiaries would bear the responsibility to build their own homes on top of the service sites, allowing us to provide solutions to many more people than have historically benefited from RDP houses. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to announce that the model of extended operating hours at clinics is now going to be replicated in our community library facilities. In the new financial year, we will be rolling out extended operating hours at 10 regional libraries across our city. They will provide a safe, conducive environment for communities to access these facilities and for learners to study in the right kind of environment. The criteria used to select these libraries has focused on communities where children study without the support of electricity. These libraries will operate in the following areas: 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday to Friday, and from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. Areas: Deep Slot, Ivory Park, Randbeck, Florida, Protea North, Sentin, Yorkville, Orange Farm, and Annandale. I celebrate this achievement and look to this as another key intervention that can be expanded upon in future financial years. In working with our coalition partners and the EFF to identify strategic interventions, we discussed the tragic case of residents of Slovo Park. I must also credit the EFF for bringing this matter to council by way of a motion passed before this council at our last council meeting last week. The residents of Slovo Park have suffered from the deepest neglect, and their environment provides no dignity whatsoever. In November 2015, the residents of Slovo Park took the city to court due to the failure of the city to provide any development in the area. The court agreed with them and has instructed the city to intervene to provide services. Can you imagine, 20 years after democracy, in South Africa, a situation where a community named after Joe Slovo had to take the city to court in order to receive even the most basic of services? I'm pleased to announce that our coalition government will be taking significant steps to rectify the situation. The residents of Slovo Park will have to wait no more once we pass our budget for the 2017-18 financial year, which is be in 3 weeks' time. A dedicated and focused intervention into this community is going to be made this year that will pave the way for electricity, water and sewer connection for the community. The fourth pillar is to build caring, safe and secure communities. We realize that one of the greatest challenges faced by our residents is crime and a lack of safety. The rule of law must prevail in Johannesburg. We envision a caring city as one which is close to where communities members can engage and can be heard. Our work in expanding the JMPD, the K9 unit, impacting the fight against drugs, and the establishment of municipal courts speaks volumes of our cause, of our focus on the pillar of our government. Ladies and gentlemen, the fight against drugs cannot be exclusively focused on policing. It has to involve prevention that care for the victims of this deadly trade. I'm very pleased to announce that we will be launching a series of pilot projects to expand services offered at our clinics, to include drug rehabilitation services to communities highly impacted by drugs. At 5 clinics in the city, dedicated and trained public health professionals will be appointed to administer rehabilitative medical services to the victims of this horrific trait. They will serve as a referral link from communities to outpatient facilities as the vital conduit for our communities. A dedicated hotline will be set up so that residents of our city can access the services. I'm pleased by this vital step for the city. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm also proud to say that we have started to take receipt of 28 new fire engines that will assist our aging fleet. Their arrival is well timed to deal with the winter season fires that leave so many homeless in our informal settlements. The fifth and final pillar is to institute an honest, responsive, and productive government. It is a key to achieving all the above pillars I have mentioned. For Johannesburg to achieve its developmental goals over the next 5 years, communities must be able to develop a high level of trust with government. Residents need to know what their money is being spent on, and they must have a say in how we plan for their future. Where something cannot be done, we must take our residents into their confidence and explain why, while searching for solutions. And when it cannot be done, and when it can be done, we must move heaven and earth to achieve it for our residents. I promise this kind of honesty during the election campaign, and it is this kind of honesty by our residents that our residents will receive. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm committing this administration to the forgotten people of our city. In the past, many people were left behind. These were the forgotten people left behind. They just thought, as residents of the city, that they were entitled to a government that cared for them. They are the people who reported service delivery issues in the black hole of bureaucracy. They are the people who remain no clearer than they did in 1996 about when they may receive a house. They are the people who live in informal settlements without services. They were treated like the city was doing them a favor by receiving the calls or complaints. They saw the city spending money, but were left wondering, what about my road? How about my house? What about my traffic lights? What about my electricity? This administration is going to focus on the forgotten people of our city. We will dedicate this term of office to them, the forgotten people of Johannesburg. And I thank you.
Hallelujah.